This is 8th June 1995 and I'm Valentina Bode. I'm about to interview Douglas Rendell of Altrincham, Manchester about his memories of the cinema in the 1930s and also to watch some contemporary footage with him.
Capabilities, even just making sure it's all connected. That seems fine. Actually, I brought along one of the books we have in the office that I thought you might like to have a look at.
Oh, lovely.
A Daily Express one of...
38.
Oh, right. I mean, you mentioned when you wrote that one of your favourite of the women stars was Diana Durbin.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Yeah. What was it liked about her?
Well, the same, really. It may be the looks, I don't know.
Yes.
But she was a very good singer, of course.
Yes.
I mean, she wasn't one of these sex goddesses, was she? But I think just the general entertainment for a woman is singing and a bit more cheerful than usual ones. But I always remember that one. I don't think she made many more, did she?
No, just a...
100 Men and a Girl, I remember seeing. That was, I think, after that one. The one I mentioned was... the first one, I think, her first. Is she in here?
I think there might be one of her, actually, yes.
She may not be, 1938.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there were quite a few references. But she didn't seem to become a star like the others, does she?
Mm. I wonder why that was.
Page 5.
Yeah. Oh, looks like we're missing page 5.
I'll just I don't think she had the right director. I think that was the one that she was here with. Her career faltered badly in the mid-40s, probably because Pasternak left university and no one developed a screen personality in a new way, as was done with Julie Garland. Mm. Of course, she's another one, of course, isn't there? Who, one of my favourites, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. It's the world's great movie stars and films. Ken Washington.
Oh, she's mentioned here, and it's in the...
I see.
In the forward, just one of the names.
Yes.
These are the new ones in 1938. Diana Durbin, Sonia Henry, I remember her. Was she a skater?
Yes.
That's right, yeah. Tyrone Power, yes, I remember all that. And Norma Shearer, yeah.
I mean, just looking at that, another... I mean, Nelson Eddy and Jeanette MacDonald, were they...
Yes, I remember them, yes. They were good singers, and those were quite enjoyable films. I think they were silly stories, but usual thing.
I just saw Maytime a couple of days ago.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Yes, that's... I have to say, was it on telly?
Someone was actually showing me it on video.
Oh, I see, yeah.
But I quite enjoyed that. It was the first I'd really seen of the two of them together.
Yes.
Apart from Rosemary.
Yeah, well, yes, I remember that, yes. Yeah.
But as you say, the storyline wasn't so much the thing as the songs.
The songs, that's right, yes. Just to link them together.
Yeah. Mm. Did you like the musicals particularly? Or?
Well, I did, yes. All the Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire. I went mainly because my family, the rest of the family seemed to like those, and I used to go with them, so I think they influenced it a bit. And they're showing quite a few of them now, aren't they, since Ginger Rogers died.
Yes.
I've seen one or two the other day.
Ah.
But the storylines are terrible now. Let's look at that.
Which ones was that? Because I've missed out on the...
The other day, what was it? I can't remember the names now. They had two of them the other day. And,
so they made quite a few together, didn't they, really? It's...
Yeah. Oh, what did I get to? Oh, sorry, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Here we are. Yeah. Well, Top Hat, of course.
Mm.
I know that one. But, it doesn't get many other than that, but Fred Astaire, isn't it?
Mm. Did you enjoy Top Hat?
Yes, that was good, yes.
Yeah.
That's one of the best, isn't it?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
The one that showed earlier, yes, it did say in the review that it was one of the best swing time.
I don't think I've seen that. What was that? What's it about?
No, we'd just watch it for the music.
Mm.
It was just a ridiculous story. Can't remember. I don't know whether Joe will remember that. And here they are. Gay divorce. Gay divorcee. Top Hat swing time. Shall we dance? Easter Parade, we've got that on tape. Somebody gave us that as a present. Mm. But really, it's their dancing that made it, didn't it?
Mm.
All those films. Yeah.
And the look of them, of course, visually as well.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, did you enjoy that aspect? I mean, being interested in visual images yourself. Was that something that attracted you to?
Later on, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the photography and so on, and composition of pictures, yes. More so now, but in the early days I didn't bother too much.
Hmm.
But,
I'm interested that you say that. I mean, what do you think it was that interested you in films in the 30s?
To start with?
Yes.
Well, I think this, as I said before, I think it's the same as today. You know, people get young children get glued to the television, don't they? I suppose I got stuck to the pictures, the movement and the excitement. And of course, everybody in the early days, everybody cheering like mad at, you know, the children's matinees. You're sort of part of the part of the audience, aren't you?
So that sort of being with friends was quite a big part of it, or being part of a...
In the cinema, you know, everybody was shouting and screaming and everything for our children's matinees. But difficult to explain, really, isn't it? But then, of course, I got interested in the on the technical side, and also everything mixed up, really. Anything to do with films, I don't know. One of those things.
Yeah. Because It sounds from what you're saying as if it was as much a social thing as a...
Well, I think it became a habit, really. Yes,
yeah.
Yeah, so with my family, I think, yes. Going twice a week and so on. But there was a certain, you know, they didn't just go, although it was a habit, they did pick and choose a bit. Because when I got down to London, that was a different, it became more choosy even then. You see, I was influenced by my colleagues, really. I suppose when you went to university, I suppose you found a sort of a mixed bag of characters there, didn't you, from all over the place.
Mm.
Well, when I went to London, we were only a small group. There was only eight of us, but they were all from the south. mainly from London, and I was sort of the odd man out, really, a provincial boy from Manchester. I would get teased about coming from Manchester and all that sort of thing. Always raining, got teased about that a lot. Well, before that, I thought I didn't know it. Manchester got a reputation for raining. And there was one of the students had an upper-class accent that wouldn't go any higher, if you know what I mean. And he occasionally would try and imitate a Lancashire accent when he was talking to me. He was trying to, you know.
Oh, dear.
But I got on well with them all. Some of them was a bit that way between each other, but I got particularly friendly with three of them. And we went out a lot to the pictures in the four of us, or three of us, or two of us. And of course, I was influenced by them as well, because I think they're much more intellectual, and they could discuss, they could criticise things, and they're interested in music and so on, which I was as well. And that's when we started going out and seeing these foreign films, anything a bit different. Particular documentary films, we were very keen on documentary films. Night Mail, particularly, remember Night Mail, yeah. And also, there was a film society in London, the London Film Society. I forget where the cinema was. I forget the name of the cinema now. I don't think it's there now. They had shows on Sundays, and we saw some of the Russian films there, you know, Battleship Potemkin and that, which in those days were a bit communism, a bit dicey. But and then there were experimental films going on, these cartoon things, up, painting on film, a chap called Len Lai, that you've heard of him. He made a few experimental films by painting pictures on the actual celluloid and putting music to it. A little bit crude these days, but we thought it was marvellous at the time.
Well, it must have been a very exciting time for you.
Yes, oh yes, it was.
Getting to know these new types of film.
Now, we had a, when I say we had a passion for Ginger Rogers. Not Ginger Rogers, Rita Hayworth. She just, I think... I don't know when she came. I think she may have just been appearing then. Yes, the first one was 1939, so it must have been, you know, later on.
But what was it about Rita Hayworth that that appealed to you so much?
Rita Hayworth?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. They all seemed to like her, and we went, I just follow the crowd.
Well, I suppose you only have to look at a photograph to her to see why she appealed to you. She's really lovely.
That's not her, is it? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, that's it, yeah. Love goddess, vulnerable sexuality. But I don't think... I don't think sexuality, I'm sure. Difficult. These days, I have an idea that students... I'm going to be completely wrong, but students these days seem to have affairs and drink a lot, that sort of thing. But I can't say in my day, but our particular lot. I mean, we didn't have any girlfriends. I don't remember any girlfriends being discussed. All the girls all around us, particularly in the art school above, some very attractive ones. And I think we looked at girls, but that's as far as it went. I don't remember going to films from the sex angle at all. Of course, 50 years ago, a long time, isn't it, to remember these things.
It's interesting you'd say that, because someone else was telling me more or less what you've just been saying, and they liked stars like Madeleine Carroll because she had a sort of sweet appeal to her.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was something that you'd agree with. Or...
Yes, perhaps so, yes. Yes. I'm not sure that's on the phone or not. No, I get the flat. Yes, there's something about the... I suppose it must have been sort of the sexuality, but we may not have been aware of it.
or using different names for it, maybe perceiving it differently.
That's right, yes. Yes. But we certainly didn't go... I mean, we didn't go and see the musicals half-naked girls that were prating about. I can't remember ever doing that. I think we must have been late developers.
Mm.
I was, anyway.
Do you think that they had more of a sort of romantic appeal to them?
I think so, perhaps so, yeah.
Because when you're talking about films like Top Hat and the glamour and...
Yeah, could be that, yes.
Sort of high society.
Yes. And we never went into pubs at all. Well, we went about... I can only remember a couple of times going to a pub because the Polytech was near the BBC. There was a little pub there, and we went there for the food, and in the hope of seeing somebody, some celebrities in BBC, which we never did. But apart from that, we never checked about. Mm. Now, there was one, we're talking about this a little bit, there was one exception, that was Jack Lee. We were all about, we were about 17 and 18. Now, Jack Lee was over, well over, but he's about 25. His brother, by the way, probably Laurie Lee. Have you heard of Laurie Lee?
Of course, yes.
Sided with Rosie.
Yes, of course.
He brought him to the Poly, actually, one day. He'd been to the Spanish Civil War, hadn't he? I think he got back and he came in to have his photograph taken, I think. Anyway, Jack Lee, he couldn't afford the fees, so he left. But I remember walking through a park with him, and he'd see a girl sitting in a deck chair, you know, yards away, and he'd go pouncing off and just chatter up like that, you know, really. Just like a young bull. I could see him now chase along and chatter up and then come back and join us. It was all very embarrassing. But he was much older, more experienced, I suppose. Yeah. But apart from that, I don't know. Unfortunately, two of my friends were killed during the war. And that was one of the reasons I think that I didn't sort of end up in films, really, because we had great plans. It would never have worked out, but we were going to buy a house and start making documentary films. Mm. I don't think it would have ever worked out.
Mm.
But there it goes. I'm still in touch with the third one.
I mean, it sounds like these, the Grierson documentaries you mentioned, did they make quite a big impression on you when you first saw
them? Oh, yes, the documentary, yeah. Yes. And the March of Time one, March of Time, wasn't it? Those were showing all over the place. And in fact, Jack Lee and my other colleague, they went to the Crown for the GPO film unit as it was then. They made Nightmail, and they both started there after the course.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, it closed down, I think, during the war, didn't it?
Because it's an amazing film, that. I mean, Nightmail, the whole.
Yes. And then they made one or two very good ones in the beginning of the war, and that London Can Take It, was it? Or,
yeah.
And one with about the music, which my friend did. Getting a title for it now.
Mm. There's one about
Listen to Britain, that was it. Yes.
Yeah.
I think my friend Joe Mendoza, I think he did the music, he was working, I think he did the music for that. Mm. Well, it was just the coming thing, wasn't it, then? The documentaries at the time.
Yeah.
In the 30s.
Well, I mean, you meant we'd talk to me a bit about the Man of Arran, I think, the last time I was here as well. I mean,
The Man of Arran.
I suppose it's halfway between documentary and fiction.
And the other one that I did mention, I finally got... did I mention the Edge of the World, that film?
I don't think you did, no.
The Matuka, the Turn of the Tide, which is about a Yorkshire, fisherman, the Yorkshire coast. But they were more realistic, you see. They didn't use studio sets, or if they did, they used it very little. And I thought those were much better, because all these, pretty well everything else was studio bound, but even the Hitchcock's ones, you know, you can see the backgrounds, you know, they look very artificial. Or these motor car shots, which you can see the background, or, of course, I was very much aware of those. But there's The Edge of the World, Michael Powell, who, he died recently, didn't he?
Yes.
Now, that was another outdoor one on the Island of Fula. Now, he published a book called 200,000 Feet on Fula in 1938. 200,000 for the amount of film he shot. That 200 cans of 1,000 feet from there. I've not read it all yet. 1938. It's a book I've always wanted to read. And eventually I got round to it only a few weeks ago, about a month ago, when I went to the library and ordered, you know, to that. Well, apparently it was reissued in 1990 under a different title.
Oh.
And this has come from Belfast Public Library. They've been chasing around for it. So I've ordered it. So far, it's only more of a travel book, really. It's not that hoping that, but there are some pictures inside here. This is off Shetland.
All right, yes.
Sorry about a bit dropping down there.
Magnificent views.
It's about the depopulation of the islands.
Yeah. Well, when was that made?
1938.
38, yeah.
Well, this was written in 38, wasn't it? Perhaps 36, 37.
Yeah. Because it looks kind of similar to Man of Ireland, from these shots, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think there's more of a story and more actors here.
Yes.
Your actors. Finlay Curry, do you remember him? Finlay Curry.
It rings a bell.
Scott,
yeah.
He was in it. There's a picture of him here. That's him.
Yes.
Yeah. I think he died recently.
Yeah. He wasn't in Whiskey Galore as well, was he? Maybe.
Probably.
He looks really familiar.
He was in that Two Real Comedy. Didn't I show you those stills of that Two-Real Comedy?
Yes, yeah. That, maybe that's what I'm thinking of, that's actually, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I travelled on the train with him once from Elstree to Pancras. It's been quite a pleasant chat.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that one had more of a sort of plot to it then?
This one, yeah. Seems to be, yes. But it seemed to be much more naturalistic, you know, the pictures and the images and everything.
Yeah.
And the studio ones.
Yeah. It looks quite, I must try and get a hold of that myself.
I went to the bookshop and it's still listed, so
yes.
I've ordered a copy. So hopefully it's still in print.
Yeah.
But I say, the first half, as far as I've so far, it's mainly travel. Whereas the other one, I don't know if it's here or not.
He must have been there quite a while to shoot all that film, I mean.
This one is a wonderful book. Have you read that?
Adventures of D.W. Griffiths, no, I haven't.
That's
Carol Fry.
This goes back to the First War, of course. But this is written by Griffiths' photographer's assistant. And there's a lot of technical things about photography and about cameras. And developing and printing, that sort of thing. So to me, that's the best film book there.
Yeah. Because you must have been watching these films with quite a critical eye as a student as well.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Intolerance. Yeah. You remember the big We've seen a big set. That's it. That's the Ronald Gow's camera. That's the type of camera.
Right.
That's in the museum. Bits are behind the camera. We can't see his face, but he's the cameraman. And it's his assistant that wrote the book.
Yeah.
Kevin Brown, he's the chap that does the... Have you seen the 10 minutes silence on TV?
I don't think I have, actually, no.
He's rescued a lot of the early silent films. And 1973 this was written.
Yeah. I mean, were you starting to get interested in the directors and the photographers and the technical people in the late 30s then?
In the 30s, yes. Yeah. We're getting more interested, really, yes. But I think I would have made a better technician, I think, really, than working behind the scenes rather than that. I don't think I would have made it in the film industry. You need a little bit more outgoing personality, I think, to survive.
I'm sure that's right.
I don't think I would have survived for long.
Yeah. But when you hear about the Hollywood ones, they're terribly flamboyant.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But, we used to discuss the direction and so on, and the photography.
Were you quite harsh on some of the films, or, I mean, do you think, because I was interested when you were talking about watching films as a child and the people around you and the noise and everything.
Yeah.
Do you think that you got more... I mean, obviously, you must have got more critical as you got older. Did you start picking faults with the films more than you did when you were a child?
Well, later on, yeah.
Yeah.
Particularly when sound came in, because that slowed everything up, didn't it? Yeah. And so when I was used to the action of the old silent films, certainly the sound... I remember one or two where the dialogue went on and on and on, and for a young person it gets a bit boring, doesn't it? Love scenes and so on.
Because I mean, just listening to what you're saying, it's interesting because your tastes seem to have changed, you know, throughout the 30s, from the beginning to the end.
Well, some of the things we watch now, the early films, we're wondering why. What attracted us about them.
Yeah.
And why we went queued in the rain to watch them, and even going to Manchester to see Abbott and Costello. They look pretty terrible now, but I remember going once there to see them.
I mean, I've got some stills with me as well that... we got from London, from some of the 30s films I thought you might like to see as well.
Oh, yeah.
People think Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah.
I don't know if...
Yes. Well, the one that the film of theirs that stands out in my mind is the one with the piano. Can't remember its name. Do you know that one?
Is this the one where they're trying to get a piano up
there? There's a great map. It's somewhere in Hollywood. I think it's still there. And, I don't know how many steps. Right, one step. That's only a two reel one, isn't it? They're all in the room, the main ones. Oh.
Oh, Mr. Laurel and Mr. Hardy. Yeah.
Have you been to the museum? Is it still there up in the lakes?
Or I haven't, no. I'd love to. It sounds...
I remember some problem with it, wasn't there? They weren't having to move or close or something.
Hmm.
But, I don't see any picture here now. Yeah, for that, I'd say that's the one that remembers.
Because I think he's... The father had a... was managed one of the theatres in Glasgow for a while as well. Stan Laurel, so they say.
Oh.
Yes. So I think he spent some time in Glasgow as a boy.
Ah. Yes.
So I've been told.
Yes, it will be.
Yeah.
Glasgow. Page one. 16-year-old stood nervously at the wings of the tiny Glasgow Theatre.
Hmm. Ah, yes, that's right. His father was manager at Picard's Museum.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. So apparently his father came to Glasgow in 1905 to manage the Metropole.
Oh, yeah.
So it was, yeah, spent quite a while there then. 16.
Yeah.
This looks interesting,
John. He used to show the shorts, he used to often give it a scene in the news theatres. I saw several of them there. But in London, they were mainly the shorts seemed to have disappeared when I got down there. They all seemed to be double feature films we used to see. It seemed incredible you could get in for about a shilling during a. And yet that's about 5p, you see. During the afternoon, before a certain time, I think it was 4 o'clock, I can't remember now. If you get in and see a 3-hour show, I don't know, even. Even allow for inflation, you wonder how they manage it.
That's
isn't
the
it?
Reason, yeah.
Is that Joan Crawford?
Oh, yes, yeah. Was she someone you liked as a star? Or?
Yes, I liked all of it. I can't really say any particular yeah. remember him, yeah. Makes you feel, yeah. Well, some of her films have got natural backgrounds. They've taken that outdoors, haven't they?
Yes, I was hearing that one, Sing As We Go, was shot in Bolton, quite a lot of it.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was one of the ones, yes. And that makes them more interesting to see today.
Yes.
The backgrounds.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that might be from Sing As We Go as well, that one.
Yeah. In all the details, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there I am, yeah. I don't know that is.
Do you think you got a fairly accurate idea of life in Lancashire from some of Gracie Field's films?
Sorry,
Do you think they gave an accurate reflection of life in Lancashire?
Well, I doubt it really now. Difficult to say.
Because I'm sure the sort of images and films like that must have shaped people's ideas, especially people who didn't know the places.
Yeah. Well, of course, I always lived in Sale, but my family came from Accrington. You can't get more Lancashire than that.
Yeah.
And in fact, my father was, I think, the most classless person you could imagine, because he was equally at home with the men on the shop floor as he was with the sir somebody in the boardroom. And in fact, he mixed socially with her. And I've been out in the some of the houses in Akron, the terrace house in Akron, invited out for tea and that kind of thing. And we met some real mill girls and so on. And I did a lot of work in the mills after the war, photographs in the cotton mills. I think what to say. Everybody looks a little bit too neat and tidy, I think, on the films. Although they're wearing clogs, but it's just a little bit.
Yes.
It's like what you see that some of the ones in the present day dramas you see on the TV that cover the 30s, the 20s and 30s. I mean, they get everything right, but there's just something. You get a lot of motor cars, for instance, that look as if they come out of a museum, don't you?
Yeah.
I don't see them like that at all.
Yeah. But, I think that's a really interesting way of looking at it. You know, just that there's something wrong. It's like, I suppose, I mean, even in a film like Whiskey Galore, it's got aspects of Scotland in it, but there's just something that's not
quite right.
Right, and it's maybe, like you say, things look like they come out of a museum, and the sweaters look like they've just been knitted. It's not quite right.
And of course, some of the light, when you go further and look at some of the lighting, there was a film yesterday afternoon called Heidi with Mae Zetterling. That was made in 1947. About an RAF officer who married a German girl during the war, or just after the war, and brought her home and all the problems that. But every time we close up Mae Zetterling, it was just one shadow on here, wherever she was. As soon as it got to a close-up, it was just like a glamour shot.
Yes.
You know, just that little circle under the nose, you know, and the shadow there.
Yeah.
Spotlight on the hair.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. It's the lighting. You can never get that sort of naturalistic effect, really.
And of course, you see shadows all over the place that shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And I notice those rather a lot, but Shirley Temple. Yes, we used to watch that.
Did you like Shirley Temple?
At the time, yes. Yeah. Cute, I suppose, isn't it? John Blondie or something. Never heard of them. Here's Danielle Darrier. Is it? He's one of the photographers. Harry Stradling, remember his name? Greatest living cameraman. They're just straight mug shots. They're very keen on Venetian blinds.
Yes.
You see those at all. Any excuse for a Venetian blind. Huh? Well, there's Mae West, of course. I remember Mae West.
Yeah.
She's quite a girl, isn't she? And she's got a pretty face, isn't it?
Yeah, she has. She's a very bright sort of smile.
Oh, yeah. I presume she's still alive. So she's in Switzerland, isn't there? So she must be about my age. She'd be about in the mid-70s. Mm.
Did you like Betty Davis?
Oh, yeah, yeah, she was in the character. Yeah, there's that shadow you see.
Yes.
Oh, she had a lot of character, didn't she? Oh, that's interesting kind of scenes. Joan Bennett as well. Now Tom Wolves, yes, we used to enjoy him, and I saw him on the stage as well.
Oh.
And Robertson Hare, you know, come across him.
Again, I know the name. Well,
he was in the those farces they used to have at the Aldwych Theatre in London. Robertson Hare. I doubt if he'll be in here. Oh, that's at 197. Bald headed.
Oh yes, he does look very familiar. Yes. Yeah.
Of money, yeah. Friday the 13th.
Mm. I can't think of the films, but I know the face.
Yeah.
See that, yeah.
Yes, he was very good.
Yeah.
Had a catchphrase, what was it? Oh, yeah. My memory's going, I'm afraid. Well, you got them all in here.
Yeah.
good find, this. Ross Bailey is another one. Yeah.
So it looks like a wonderful shot, that is.
Yeah.
And you've still got the shadow under the nose, as you see.
Oh, well, yeah.
Not quite a glamour shot, though.
Not so bad there, is it?
No.
Yeah.
Is that a photographer's trick to make the.
Well, it's for the 45 degree lighting. It's not there.
I see.
But it's a little bit. These are heavily retouched.
Right.
You can see that there, you know, pencil work all over the face.
Yeah.
Make it so smooth. Which we,
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we didn't do in later years.
Yeah.
But,
So you see, the ones that have the nose shadow, it's a sort of 45 degree light.
Yes, that's the sort of give, you see, that's coming out of there.
Yes.
That's the give, supposed to give the best modelling in the face.
Right, yes.
And then, of course, it leaves a shadow that side, so you put another light on this side just to lighten up the shadow.
Yeah.
Or a reflector.
Yeah.
See, that's the sort of basic lighting.
I see, right. And like in this one with Ronald Coleman.
Yeah, you see, that's 45 degrees there.
And do you think that one's been touched up as well?
I should think so.
Yeah.
You can't tell on the reproductions.
Sure, yeah. And I thought all the film stars had perfect complexions.
Oh gosh, I think so. No. They don't bother so much these days, do they?
I do think so.
Well, they do makeup.
Yeah.
Oh, Jessie Matthews, of course. Yeah. She's.
Was she someone you liked?
Yes. She's singing, dancing again. Yeah. Have you got the time yet?
Yes, it's about 20 past 11 actually.
I'm glad I have to put something in there.
Bye.
Would you like some coffee, Laura?
That would be lovely, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realise how the time was passing, actually, once you start talking. Yeah. That'd be lovely, thanks.
A black
copy of this, I think. That's great.
Yes. They're offering a folder as well for them.
Yes.
I don't know, I must order one.
Busby Berkeley. Gold Diggers.
Do you have those, aren't they?
No, I'll just take it black, thanks.
Sure, yeah. Sure, yeah.
That's great. I'll thanks very much. That'd be lovely. Yeah. Thanks very much. Did you like these big...
Oh, yes.
Berkeley musicals?
The piano one, yeah. That's tremendous. I remember that. How to do it. Sure.
Amazing. Well, it's very useful, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, which films did you want to see?
Right.
We've got... do you want the very old ones? The Children's Out into Mobley's the earliest. That's 1909.
That would be nice, actually, to start off with something like that.
Yeah. What's the next one? The other one was the...
There was one of I remember... From hearing the list, there was one from a wedding from about 1938
that sounded quite
good as well.
Yeah, that's good evidence, yeah.
Yeah.
So if we...
I'd very much like to see a bit of one of the Gow fragments that you had. The Gow films.
The Gow, yeah.
Yeah, because they sounded excellent.
Oh, here we are. I was going to put them on the reel, but... It's a projector, it's an automatic threading.
Ah, I see.
Which, but if anything goes wrong, it mashes up the film.
Yeah. It looks, as I was saying, the only time I've tried to show old film, I had a very, it was an old projector as well. It was really awkward to use. But it's a lot more sophisticated.
I bought it about 1980, because I missed out a lot of the films at the cinema for various reasons in the 70s. So I thought I'd catch up on them and hire a few films. But as soon as I got it, of course, the video boom.
Yes.
So I didn't hire many. They got so expensive.
Oh, yes. I like videos, but it still can't replace film, I don't think. It's, you know, the whole experience of going to the cinema and...
Yeah.
It's quite good. I like watching a video in the evening, you know, but...
Yeah. What's afterward. That's a granite flat there we have. But
I see.
We rent it out now to a young lady.
No.
It was a member of the Seal Knot. Do you know the Seal Knot?
I don't know.
Well, she goes around giving a demonstration of Civil War pageants. Yeah. She's a soldier. I know what she does.
I've heard of it before. It sounds like a lot of fun, actually. Yeah. I'm sure it must be very enjoyable.
Yeah, probably, yeah. I've had problems already, I'm sorry. This was made for professionally for a local cinema in Altrincham, which doesn't exist anymore. But they used to have these annual outings for children into the country. I think they used to go by, you know, horse and cart, but this is the first outing by rail from Altrincham to Mobbett. Mobbett is a village just down the line. Mm-hmm.
This one was from 1909, you say?
1909, yeah.
Goodness.
And it's better quality than a lot of the other things you'll see. Mm.
It's very sharp, isn't it?
Yeah. They look well turned out, don't they?
They do, very much so.
They're meant to be the poor children of Altrincham, but I don't know.
And with the flags as well.
Yeah. Oh, what's the gramophone, yeah?
It looks like the whole town's turned out as well.
Yeah. The railway enthusiast is mad about this one.
Oh, I'm sure.
His opening station.
Yeah. I wonder if any of these children are still around.
I'll tell you about that in a
minute. Some of them are quite small, of course, so.
This is a model of station, isn't it?
Yeah. They look so excited as well. Don't just like children today as well, the excitement of seeing a camera.
Yeah.
You donkey. Wonderful. Was that two little boys having a bit of a punch up in the background? Yeah. Yeah. Acrobatics. Oh, this is the climbing routine. This is wonderful. Lightings.
Yeah.
The look of trumpets or something.
Yeah, look like it, doesn't it?
Three blanket shakes. Tremendous, it really is.
There's a little bit more of a Punch and Judy show, which is on the original, but for some reason or other, when I got this print, it wasn't on it, though.
Hmm.
Anyway, it's on it. When I showed this to the Bowdoin History Society at the end, I think it was about 1988, a lady in the audience got very excited because she recognised herself. Of course, it's got Marianne excited too, but
they? Yes, I'll bet.
So, about 2 years later, Marianne put this on one of her tapes,
yes,
her first videotape, and they're having a launch party, so she asked me if I could trace this lady and bring her along to the launch,
yes,
which we did. She was in a nursing home then. I think she must have been in her 80s. And she is interviewed on Granada News. Now I've got that on tape. I think we might just while I think about it, perhaps we're going to have a look at it. It's only a couple of minutes.
That must have been so exciting for the lady as well.
Yes,
I'm sure she recognised quite a few of the other faces.
And
she knew
the two boys who were doing the juggling at you.
Yes.
So I think if we go through that,
I really enjoyed these, the family ones as well, they're just tremendous. So these were taken by your wife's uncle, did you say?
Sorry?
These were taken by your wife's uncle?
Yes.
In colour as well, it's...
There's a whole lot more. I mean, I'm on the beach, but they get a bit boring for anybody who's...
Not at all.
Family.
Yeah. But it's really interesting to see all these different aspects of life. I mean, from the gardening to the beach
Now, this demonstrations. Is the one that the hospital supply depot that was made for showing at this meeting with Hilaire Belloc, remember? The idea is to advertise the centre. They're wanting more recruits.
Right.
But
as I said, you don't seem to be any short of. There's a tale. They all come out of a door. The nurses. Now there's a tale that some of them went round the back and came out again. Well, that's a tale a lot, but anyway, that's what I was told. It's very bad quality.
So when was this made again? Sorry, what year was this made?
1917. During the war.
Yeah. Auckland University War Hospital Supply Depot. GNH. The honourable organiser, Lady Hill. The workers. Some of them look a bit confused as to what they're supposed to be doing, the nurses. Proceeding out the door. Is that the matron at the side, do you think? Do you think that was the matron at the side?
It could have been, yeah.
Yeah. And their sewing machines.
Yeah.
He certainly had a very good eye for the shots, didn't he?
The
composition of them. These big groups. I like the lorry as well, with the horse. If he wants help, bring me on your work. It's fascinating that, seeing the whole process from start to finish.
Now that must have languished in a local library for many years.
It looks so idyllic as well, with the trees and the out-of-door work and sunny day.
We'll get to the wedding one. I think this is 1938, was it? Yeah. This turned up when they had their 50th wedding anniversary. George Adams, he brought it out, and they had a party and they showed a film. So I said, could we have it for the archives? So he said yes. think they've shown an excerpt on telly once or twice. Mm. Right? It was made by a professional. There was a firm in Manchester, Trafford Park, called Carborundum.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a film unit, you know, to make industrial films. And this George Evans, the chap that's getting married, it's a friend of his, and he took the film.
Good heavens, a historical record. Is it an MUG production? Yeah. Eldon Church.
This is just the next village.
Oh, I see. Is it Bowden that's pronounced?
Bowden.
Bowden, yeah. So there's a town in the borders, Bowden, spelt the same, so
yeah.
Isn't she? That's the UN.
There's a big bouquet, is that one?
Huge, yes. Newcastle Road. New car. She looks quite keen to get in as well.
Yeah.
It's pretty. Yeah.
See the reflection of the
yes.
Camera in there. Yes. It must have been on glass or something. Like a cine care bag.
Yeah. Oh, what a lovely shot. It must have been delightful for them to see that 50 years on as well.
Yeah.
Oh. A lovely church as well.
This is in Hale now.
The reception. Snapping the snapper.
No. I'm half lit camera on a tripod. Black cloth as well.
Goodness me, they are huge, the bridesmaids' bouquets. There's three of them, too. Was that one of the mothers?
I don't know, probably.
Yeah.
Mine's mother, that.
Yeah, John. Margaret. in the honeymoon. I like the way he's done the titles, so they're excellent. Yeah.
That's the back of that, so the back of that.
Oh, yes.
Well, I always thought that that double-decker bus had perhaps brought the guests down.
Ah!
But apparently, it had been it had brought out a party of children from Ancoats, which was a slum area of Manchester,
yeah,
to be entertained at the church that afternoon.
I see.
So somebody remember that.
it's wonderful to get these sort of details as well, and
yeah,
really brings the thing to life.
Been about 5 years ago, and it's still about. Now, what else we got?
Have you got any of your own films?
Well, only home movies. But they're mainly after the war.
I see. Yeah.
No? Do you want those?
I wouldn't mind having a... It's not directly relevant, but it would be nice to see if you're interested.
Well, let's have a look and see what there's anything else here. There's the Home Guard, that's 1944. That's just a parade through Altrincham. That's the opening of the War Memorial. And the unveiling of the Chapel Street Roll of Honour, 1919. Any of those, or... And then there's a school sports day, 1923.
Oh, that sounds interesting, actually.
But this is very bad.
Ah.
It was taken off, but you can see in the rain, and
did they keep doing these the outing in 1909? Did that last for longer than that? Was it something that was happening, say, when you were a child, or?
What, the...
That annual outing.
Annual outing.
Yeah.
I don't know how it went on. It was going on a long time before that. But whether they continued it, I don't know.
Yeah.
The idea of it was, of course, to attract people into the cinema, so you to come and look at themselves.
Right, I see.
One of the ideas, I think.
Oh. I'm sure it worked as well. It must have been quite a crowd puller.
Well, Marianne was quite pleased with this because she said there's very few, just before the sports day, there's a few shots of the inside of the school, of boys at the school, and she said that they've got very few school films.
I'm sure,
There's also...
Yes, because I mean, I'm sure with the expense of film, I mean, people must have... used it mainly for special events, like
This is a local sort of local event film that was shown at the Altrincham Picture Theatre. See, in a place like Stockport, which is a great big, much bigger town, as far as I want to make out, there's only one film survived from the early days, although it's albeit a good one, Stockport Market. And yet, Altrincham here, we've got, we've got half a dozen.
Right. I suppose a lot of it just depends on luck and people keeping these things. Yeah.
Nobody bothered to keep them, though.
Yeah. Watching the County High School for Boys 10, annual athletic sports, 1922.
Obviously, the headmaster.
That's a beautiful building. Is this a woodwork class, or...? Is this woodwork or?
Yeah. Woodwork chemistry.
Yeah.
And then the gym, right? They're all well turned out.
I was going to say, were they always this smart or is it for the film?
Yes. True.
The hair very carefully combed in their suits. Even their gym kits are very smart. Too.
Yeah.
A salt course. Mm. Yeah. Even the egg is good. And the sack race. It's quite miserable, actually. Oh. I like this little boy with his belt.
Yeah.
Identified any of the boys in this?
No, I know some of the teachers. So
yeah.
That one there, the hat, taught me, Mr. Kemp. And I went about 10 years later, he was still there.
Yeah.
And the other teacher there, I went about. This is a dangerous game, isn't it?
It is, yes. It's a neat piece of wood. Each other. That's really tremendous. And as you say, seeing inside the classrooms, that's quite something, isn't it? Had it changed much by the time you were at the school? I mean,
school?
Yeah.
No, it was the same then. They started building extensions about the year I left.
Mm.
But they're very much the same, I think. Jane made us something. She said, give it a couple of hours. Make sure it bubbled.
Yeah.
Like bubbling at the mouth. Well, if you want to see, before we go to Ronald Gow's, the film, we're just getting about 20 past, is it now?
Yes, about 20
it
past.
Might, it runs about 15 minutes.
That would be great, yes.
Well, there's two, but the people of the... People of the lakes. Of the lakes, right?
Yeah. Oh, what a wonderful collection you've got, though, of these films, really.
Yes, so.
And the archive has, obviously, too. That's, that's great. People of the Lake, Tale of the Bronze Age, an Altrincham County High School educational film. Story and direction by Ron McGill. Produced with the approval of Sir William Boyd Dawkins.
Yeah.
Who is he?
Huh?
Who is William Boyd Dawkins? Scout Brown is fond of archaeology, ethnography, anthropology, and. Drinking his juice, I think. Ancient man in Britain. It's amazing, it really is. Bronze Age Village. Amazing, all the costumes and everything. And the boat.
Mm-hmm.
sex. It was all a dream at the end, big fight. Almost like everyone, heroism, a scout, making a tour from Iron Age Village, Cranogs. No other artifacts. Absolutely brilliant. Really was. Boss. I mean, I can see how exciting it must have been to see that. And
yes. Yes. Deteriorated badly because he kept the originals in his garage, you see, for many years. But he had a 60mm print made of it at some stage, but it only after it had deteriorated. And the other one's much worse.
Yeah.
People of the Glittering Sword.
Yeah. So it was really amazing. I mean, you see, it must have been a tremendous experience for the children. Right.
Yes,
I mean, presumably they built all these
huts
and costumes. And
yeah, they're quite a big set that, really.
Yeah, amazing,
it?
Yeah.
Down in Devonshire, it all made out. Now, what else? After lunch. Nothing was said. which is the only early, my home movie before the war, on 9.5.
I see, yes.
I've got them on tape, but they're not a very good quality tape. I wonder whether I could try the 9.5 projector and see what happens.
That would be great. The man who changed his mind. Yeah.
And messed about with it.
Original story of Boy Scout by Ronald Gow. He's Ethan Powell. Did he ever make any feature films, or?
What?
Did Guy ever make any feature films, or?
No, he wrote some scripts.
Yeah.
Pinewood, I think.
Yeah.
This is a cheese cat, Golden Palace, at the time.
It's a shame, because I mean, there's tremendous imagination in that other one. European Motion Picture Company salutes the scouts of the world and has pleasure in presenting this young British picture. Produced in England by British Boy Scouts. So Robert Baden-Powell said that the film is a feather in the cap of the scouts. Photographed with an inexpensive cine camera and produced entirely by members of the Altrincham High School Scout Troop.
It's not quite right, because we hired a proper professional camera.
Ah.
This is part three.
Ah. The titles are wonderful, as you say, with the scout motto in them.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
Yeah, I don't know. It goes on for that.
Yeah. As I say, it's a shame that he didn't, because he's obviously got such a rapport with boys as well.
Yes, that's right, yes. I probably showed you this before at the school. This man's address. Did I show you that probably?
No, I don't think
that's
so.
That's Ronald Gow there.
Ah!
But that's the interesting address, you see. Look, they've all got suits on. In fact, he looks an odd man out with his jacket.
Yes.
Look at these gold chains.
The watch chains.
They're probably
yes.
Sixth formers, I suppose.
Yeah. That is interesting.
Yeah.
So he was obviously very young when he was at the school.
Well, he'd be leaving here. He'd be about 17 or something. Like that. He went on to Manchester University.
I see, yes.
Where we're from here, so.
Yeah.
I suppose 17, 18 or something like that now.
No, I thought the first one you showed me, it was really stunning. I mean, for something done with children and presumably an inexpensive cine camera for that one. It was just tremendous.
Seen that magazine, there's a lot about it there.
Ah.
Two pages.
Yeah. This is in the British Journal of Photography as well. I lost that there.
Right, so.
The films of, that's 1979. I wish I'd had time to see the glittering sword now as well. It's just that's great, that. Yeah. I've thoroughly enjoyed seeing these, and thanks very much for
Thank you very much anyway.
Bringing them out. It's And it's been really useful for me as well, just as I say, to get an idea of, sort of leisure pursuits as well.
Yes. They look very crude now, looking back on them.
I don't know, actually. They're quite...
Of course, for cine camera, you could... the film's expensive.
Mm.
And you just press the button for 2 or 3 seconds and take it off again.
Easily. Yeah.
With video these days, you switch it on and leave it on.
Yeah.
So
you must have had to be quite careful with how you were shooting things.
Yeah.
And...
yeah. But, I say, there's no interest to anybody but the family.
Well, as I say, I think, especially the holiday shots, get a real impression of these 30s resorts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because, I've heard people talking about going to, seaside resorts in Scotland as well.
Yeah.
But I've never really seen any footage like that, contemporary footage of holidays.
Yeah. Well, our family went to London now, mainly, and St Anne's. We never went very far.
Yeah.
We used to go off on day trips quite a bit with a car in the Lake District, Yorkshire, everywhere. But holidays, it was usually North Wales or St Anne's.
Mm.
I can't remember anywhere else. Mm.
Mm. But North Wales is lovely, isn't it? I was in Wales for the first time about 4 weeks ago.
Oh,
my husband came down for the weekend and we went to Bettisey Coed in Snowdonia.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Right, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, London, I think, is the best place on that coast.
Is it? Yeah.
And it's not been spoilt. They've not allowed any developments along the promenade.
I see.
So it's more or less as it was.
Yeah.
Originally. They've ruined a pier, of course, or part of it. Taking all the nice Victorian ironwork down.
Yeah.
Got these scrappy stalls and things.
Yeah.
Apart from that, it's a pier. It's a very good pier.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about maybe taking a day out there on Saturday and having a look round.
Yes,
so I think I will when you say that.
On the train?
On the train, yes.
I don't have to take an hour and a half, I suppose, not just...
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's the Great Orme Railway, if you want to go up on the...
Ah, really? Yes.
The Orme, that's running all day.
Yeah. Your daughter was telling me just now about your railway in the garden.
Oh. it's only a crude railway, yes. And it goes round in a circle.
Mm.
There's model railways go, it's nothing. I don't get much time for it, really.
She seemed to be very impressed with it. She was saying that you'd cut a hole in the shed so it could run through. And,
used to play with it when they were children.
Yeah, it obviously made a lasting impression.
It was better then than it is now, I think. Some nice views, and Conway is worth going to. That's got a bit awkward if you're in the train. But
yeah.
Nice little, the old Telford's Bridge, suspension bridge.
Yes, I've seen pictures of it,
Because they've got a tunnel underneath now. But very nice around there.
Mm. So was that your whole family that used to go on these holidays? Because you were saying, that...
Yes, my mother and father.
Your mother and father,
And my sister.
Yeah.
My brother was a lot older, so he didn't know so much of him. And Joan, their family went, they usually went to Newquay, that was their favourite spot, in Cornwall.
Yeah.
And I went with them just after the war. But, I think they expected it to be the same.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. It's amazing, really, that your two families were both interested in film, seeing the... Her family films as well. And
that's right, yeah.
Because it must have been quite an unusual, hobby. Or
yes.
At that time.
It's quite a popular hobby, because there weren't many people filming in those days, I suppose, because it was expensive, Although, you could get a camera for about £3 or £4, and a little cheap projector for a bit more. I think this originally was £15 when it came out, I think. But,
and they more or less seem to last forever as well, don't they?
They shrink, you see. They probably last longer than tape, because we don't know yet, do we?
Yeah.
But they got scratched, and I don't know why.
I'm sure they do, because, I mean, the audio tapes aren't very good for lasting, so I'm sure videotape probably is of a lesser quality than that.
Yeah.
Is there a copy of that in the North West Film Archive as well?
No.
Yeah.
They've got that almost your own video.
Yep.
There's nothing really there. I got plenty of that sort of
thing. I see, yeah.
The quality's not very good, is it?
Yeah. It was interesting as well to see that type of film, because I hadn't
come across that before. Yeah, we've got a lot more on 16mm, which we took after the war, in colour and everything, which is better.
Yeah.
When the children are young. Right, well, are you all right? Do you want to get off that?
I suppose I should, really. Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed seeing these. Yeah. So it's been great.
You might if you want, but...
Yeah, I should, because I've got to, as I say, type some stuff out. And,
yeah, right.